everyone. Bob Main back with you for another episode of the Handgun World Show. Episode number 70, to be exact. And why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop.
This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
And thanks for tuning in to what I believe is one of the more practical firearms podcasts on the internet. Because I am not an ex-law enforcement or military guy, and I'm not a gunsmith or a gun writer or gun trainer or anything like that. I am just a private citizen. I'm just an ordinary guy trying to make a living, but I happen to have a passion for handguns in particular, but all firearms. And I believe strongly in my Second Amendment rights. And for about 5.5 years, I've been carrying a gun for self-protection. So you get from me practical common sense ideas from an everyday guy's point of view. And I just want to say this. Thank you to everybody who has made this show possible. I got a special treat for you, but I'm going to save the special treat for segment number two. If you've been listening long enough, you know what that is. I'm going to announce the Freedom Raffle, because today is July 15th, 2010. However, I want to start the first half of this show by talking about why liberals should love the Second Amendment. And I didn't invent that title, and I didn't even write a lot of what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm going to add my own flavor, no doubt, because I always do that. But I'm going to talk to you about another article that was written as to why liberals should love the Second Amendment. Before I do that, I want to knock out just a few announcements. Most of the announcements are going to be the second half of the show. But in the beginning, I want to tell you I'm driving again. And I do a lot of these podcasts while I'm driving down the road, because that's when I get time to think. Also, go to my website, handgunworld.com. Handgunworld.com. Check out the YouTube channel at Handgun World Show on YouTube. And don't forget about my Facebook page. If you just look up Handgun World Show on Facebook, you will also find me there. And I'll be posting a lot of stuff on there, videos, pictures, contests, this, that, and the other thing. So become a friend of mine on the Facebook page. That's it. I'm going to save the rest of the announcements, but I had to get those. One more thing. Don't forget to join the Gun Rights Radio Network, and I have my own thread over there for my show at gunrightsradio.com, and click the forum tab. Good group of people. All right. Let's get into the main topic. I do want to give you some listener feedback real quickly. This will just take about 20 seconds, and then I'm going to talk about why liberals should love the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. But here is an email I recently got from a listener. This comes from Peter. Peter writes, "Great show, Bob. Keep up the good work." Well, I want to say thank you, Peter. Then he writes, "When you mention states that ban concealed carry, please mention New Jersey. It effectively bans concealed carry since you have to prove need. Therefore, only retired law enforcement officers and a few other people such as armored car drivers can get a concealed carry permit. I have been a resident of New Jersey for 17 years, and I've been a lawyer in good standing for all 17 years, but I cannot get a concealed carry permit." Peter, boy, I tell you what, I'm sorry about that. And here's my comment. Let me go ahead and add New Jersey as a list of states that ban concealed carry. They can say all they want on paper that they allow concealed carry, but it's not true. If they have that much discretion to where only retired law enforcement and maybe some retired military people and maybe some armored car drivers, if those are the only people that can carry a gun for self-protection in the state of New Jersey, I don't care if this offends anybody in the government of New Jersey. I don't care if I'm offending people in the state government of New Jersey. They do not allow concealed carry if they're that restrictive. Folks, this fight is not over. Our fight for gun rights is not over by a long shot, and we're really not probably winning as much as we think we are. So stay tuned for segment number two, because that's going to be the main theme, is raising money for gun rights. It's important. You got to stay in the fight, folks. All right. Why should liberals love the Second Amendment? Somebody sent me this article. One of you listeners sent me this, and I have a huge apology to make. I have lost the email. Fortunately, I did not lose the link to this article, but for some reason, I guess after I saved the article to my computer, I deleted the email. So to the listener who sent me this, thank you, thank you, thank you. But I'm sorry. I would like to mention you by name, but I screwed up and I deleted it. But this was written on a website called thedailycos.com. Daily Cause, Daily Kos, I don't know. It's a liberal website. Daily KOS. It's a big-time liberal website. Some of you who listen to this show, you might not read the Daily Kos very much. I want to say this is not a political show. So let me get this out right up front. Please do not think that I'm trying to impose politics. I've heard many times people say stupid stuff. Like, well, liberals don't like guns, and they're not for our Second Amendment rights. In general, yeah, that's probably true. Liberal politicians, in general, they typically don't. We're going to talk about that in this show. But, you know, I've had people on here. I've had liberals who are concealed carry instructors do interviews with me. I've had liberal political people send me emails saying that they support guns. So, gun rights is not confined to just one political party. Well, a lady named Kaylee Joy Gray, also known as Angry Mouse, I believe that she's a writer for thedailycos.com, she wrote what I'm going to share with you, but of course I'm going to add the Bob Main flavor to it. I have to do that. It's my show and I got to inject some of my opinions here. But her article is entitled Why Liberals Should Love the Second Amendment. She wrote this on July 4th. So here you go. This is by Kaylee Joy Gray, a liberal. She says, liberals love the Constitution. Ask anybody on the street. They'll tell you that the American Civil Liberties Union is a liberal organization. And she says, if you were to ask liberals to list their top five complaints about the Bush administration, they'd probably say things like, well, he shredded the Constitution. You know, or they might also talk about the Fourth Amendment or due process. And they'll complain about free speech zones and habeas corpus and all that stuff. And there's a good chance that they're going to mention people like Attorney General John Ashcroft or Alberto Gonzalez. Okay, and while liberals certainly do not argue for lawlessness, they will acknowledge the necessity of certain restrictions. And it's generally understood that liberals fight to broadly interpret and expand our rights and to question the necessity and the wisdom of any restrictions on our rights. Okay, I got to stop there. Let me add this. This is me talking. This is not Kaylee Joy Gray. This is me talking. First of all, I take exception with that article, but this that paragraph. This is a fantastic article. Folks, hang with me. You're going to love this article. But I got to say, no, liberals do not always fight to broadly interpret and expand our rights. What about the Second Amendment? Do liberals fight hard to protect our Second Amendment rights? No, they don't. And actually, Kaylee Joy Gray is going to make my point for me in this article. But I had to throw that in there. So let me continue. She writes, liberals can quote legal precedent, and they can quote news reports and all kinds of exhaustive studies, and they can talk about the intentions of the founders, and they can argue at length against the tyranny of government. And they will, almost without exception, conclude the necessity of respecting and not restricting civil liberties. Except for one. And she says, here's the one civil liberty that most liberals don't fight for. The right to keep and bear arms. Yeah, she wrote that. I didn't throw that in there. Okay? When it comes to discussing the Second Amendment, liberals check rational thought at the door. They dismiss approximately 40% of American households that own one or more guns, and those who fight to protect the Second Amendment, they dismiss them as gun nuts. They argue for greater restrictions on guns, and they pursue these policies at the risk of alienating other voters who might otherwise vote for Democrats. Remember, folks, this isn't me talking. I'm giving you the words of a liberal that wrote this article on a liberal website. So she continues, and they do so in a way that is wholly inconsistent with their approach to all of our other civil liberties. Those who fight against the Second Amendment rights, they cite statistics about gun violence as if such numbers are evidence that, you know, our rights should be restricted. But Chicago and Washington, D.C., the two cities from which came the most recent Supreme Court decisions on Second Amendment rights, had some of the most restrictive gun laws in the nation. Such restrictions do not correlate with preventing crime. Time out. Boy, she's right about that, isn't she? Okay, back to the article. So rather than continuing to fight for greater restrictions on the Second Amendment, it's time for liberals to defend Second Amendment rights as vigorously as they fight to protect all of our rights, because it is by fighting to protect each right that we protect all rights. Time out for a second. And she states five reasons, folks, why liberals should fight for the Second Amendment. So here you go. You're going to love this. Back to the article. She says, this is why. Number one, the Bill of Rights protects individual rights. If you've read the Bill of Rights, you will notice a phrase that appears in nearly all of the Bill of Rights. That phrase is the people. In the First Amendment, it says, the right of the people to peaceably assemble. In the Second Amendment, it reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Fourth Amendment says, the right of the people to secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, etc., etc. In the Ninth Amendment, there's phraseology that says, shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. The Tenth Amendment also refers to the people. The Tenth Amendment, there's phraseology that says the rights are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Certainly, no good liberal would argue that any of these rights are collective rights and not individual rights, would they? We believe that the First Amendment is an individual right to criticize our government. We should not condone a state-regulated news organization, nor would we. We certainly would not condone state regulation of religion, and we talk about separation of church and state, although there's no mention of separation of church and state in the First Amendment. Time out. Let me interject something here. She's right. I've done a lot of studying on the First Amendment, folks. And there is nothing in the First Amendment that says separation of church and state. Those words do not find themselves in the Constitution. That is written nowhere in the Constitution, separation of church and state. I challenge you to find it. It is not in there. Okay, but back to the article. But we know what they meant. The anti-federalists refused to ratify the Constitution without the Bill of Rights. We believe the founders intended for us to be able to say damn near anything we want, protest damn near anything we want, and print damn near anything we want, and believe damn near anything we want, individually, without interference or regulation from the government. And yet, despite the recent Heller and McDonald decisions, liberals balk at the idea of the Second Amendment as an individual right. They take the position that the founders intended an entirely different meaning by the phrase, the right of the people. Even though they are so positively clear what the right of the people means in the First Amendment, if we can agree that the First Amendment protects not only powerful organizations like the New York Times and MSNBC, but also the individual commenter on the internet, the individual at the anti-war rally, the individual driving the car with derogatory bumper stickers on their vehicle, can we not also agree that the Second Amendment's use of the people has the same meaning and the same protections? Time out. Yeah, I love that. I love that paragraph. I mean, isn't that the truth? All right? If the First Amendment, you know, I mean, I got to agree with her. This is great stuff here. If the First Amendment protects powerful organizations to say whatever the hell they want, then if that protects the people's right, you know, if the First Amendment, folks, protects my right, Bob Main, to do this podcast, the Handgun World Show, and say whatever the hell I please on this show, it gives me that right. Well, guess what? I'm one of the people, aren't I? So to all you liberals out there, if this gives me the right, if the First Amendment gives me the right as one of the people, then how come the Second Amendment doesn't give me, one of the people, the right to keep and bear arms? All right, back to this article. Liberals say, but it's different. The Second Amendment is talking about the militia. If you want to bear arms, just join the National Guard, right? Wrong. Here's the United States Militia Code. The militia of the United States consists of all able-bodied males at least 17 years of age. Now, by the way, folks, let me just tell you, this is coming from the Cornell University Law School website. Okay, this is the United States Militia Code. So if you ever wondered what do they mean by the militia in the Second Amendment of the Constitution, here you go. All able-bodied males at least 17 years of age, now you got to remember this was written back in the 1700s, except as provided in Section 313 of Title 32 under 45 years of age, who are or have made a declaration of intention to become citizens of the United States, and of female citizens of the United States who are members of the National Guard. Now, this is important right here. The classes of the militia are, one, the organized militia, which consists of the National Guard or the Naval Militia. And number two, the unorganized militia, which consists of the members of the militia who are not members of the National Guard or the Naval Militia. Remember that the National Guard did not exist in the 1700s. The term militia does not mean National Guard. The code clearly states that two classes comprise the militia: the National Guard and Naval Militia, and of course everyone else, which would be the people. Now that's from United States Code, folks. I didn't invent that. This writer didn't invent that. That's United States Militia Code. All right, back to the article. The founders well understood that the militia is the people, for it was not only the right, but the obligation of all citizens to protect and preserve their liberty and to defend themselves from the tyranny of government. And fighting against the tyranny of government is certainly a liberal value. Now, number two, the second reason why this writer says that liberals should love the Second Amendment. All of our rights, even the ones enumerated in the Bill of Rights, are restricted. You can't shout fire in a crowd. You can't threaten to kill the president. We have laws against libel and slander. We have the FCC to regulate our radio and television content. We have plenty of restrictions on our First Amendment rights. But we don't like these restrictions. We fight them. Any card-carrying member of the ACLU will tell you that while we might agree that certain restrictions are reasonable, we keep a close eye out whenever anyone in government gets an itch to pass a new law that restricts our First Amendment rights, or our Fourth Amendment, or our Fifth, Sixth, or Eighth Amendment rights. We complain about free speech zones. The whole country is supposed to be a free speech zone, after all. It says so right in the First Amendment. But when it comes to further restrictions on the manufacture, sale, or possession of firearms, liberals are not even silent. They are vociferously in favor of such restrictions. Suddenly, broad restrictions are all of a sudden now reasonable. The Chicago and Washington, D.C. bans on handguns, all handguns, is reasonable, even though the Supreme Court has now said otherwise. Okay, remember, this isn't me talking. This is a liberal who wrote this article. Okay, back to the article. Why would we tolerate these types of restrictions? Would we tolerate such a sweeping regulation of the 13th Amendment that abolished slavery? What if a member of Congress, let's say a Republican, from a red state in the South, introduced a bill that permits enslaving black women? Would we consider that reasonable? Of course not. That would be ridiculous, of course. Liberals would take to the streets and they'd send angry letters to their representatives in Washington, and they would organize marches and they'd call progressive radio stations and programs to quote verbatim the 13th Amendment. And quite bluntly, liberals would be up in arms. No pun intended. And yet, a ban on all handguns seems reasonable to many liberals. Never mind that 102 million firearms in America, and about 65 million of them are owned by Americans, and about 65 million of them are handguns. Such a narrow interpretation of this particular right is inconsistent with the otherwise broad interpretation of the Bill of Rights. And just as conservatives weaken their own arguments about protecting the Second Amendment when they will not fight as vigilantly for protecting all others, so too do liberals weaken their arguments for civil liberties when they pick and choose which civil liberties that they deem worthy of defense. Okay, time out. Great point. And I want to say to all of you conservatives, Republicans, whatever, all right, even though I'm a registered Republican, I sure don't like everything that the Republicans do, especially lately, especially the last 15, 20 years. I'm a conservative. I hope that doesn't turn you off, folks. I hope you don't quit listening to my show just because I'm conservative. But we conservatives got to be real careful, too, because I've seen conservative politicians pick and choose which rights that they want to protect and which they don't. That's wrong. You can't criticize liberals for doing it if conservatives do the same thing, can you? All right, back to the article. So she says the third reason why liberals should like the Second Amendment. She said liberals like to use the argument, well, it doesn't matter anymore, this is not 1776. She goes on to write, when the founders drafted the Bill of Rights, they could not have imagined machine guns or armor-piercing bullets or handguns that own handguns that hold 18 rounds. A drive-by shooting back in 1776 would have been a guy on a horse with a musket. Think about this, though. The founding fathers also could not have imagined the internet or podcasts or 24-hour cable news networks, or talk radio, when they drafted the First Amendment. Did they really mean to protect the rights of Bill O'Reilly to make incredibly stupid and frequently inaccurate statements for an entire hour, five nights a week? Actually, yes, they did. Bill O'Reilly's babblings and Keith Olbermann's special comments and the insipid chatter of the entire cast of the Today Show are and were intended to be protected by the First Amendment. Liberals are supposed to understand that just because we don't agree with something doesn't mean it's not protected, at least when it comes to the First Amendment. And one's personal dislike of guns should be no better reason for fighting against the Second Amendment than should one's personal dislike of Bill O'Reilly. And yet, when discussing the Second Amendment, liberals become obtuse in their literalism. They say things like, well, the Second Amendment doesn't protect the right to own all guns or all ammunition. It doesn't protect the right of the people as individuals. Yet liberals will defend the right of Cindy Sheehan to wear an anti-war t-shirt or t-shirts that say Bush sucks, even though the First Amendment says nothing about t-shirts. Liberals will defend the rights of alleged terrorists to have a public trial, even though the founders certainly could not have imagined a world in which terrorists would plot to blow up buildings with airplanes And red herring arguments about the types of ammunition and magazine capacity or handguns versus rifles are just that, red herrings. And they distract us from the underlying purpose of that right to ensure a free society that can hold its government accountable. And here's the fourth reason. She writes, it doesn't matter if you can use it. Fine, you say, have your big scary guns. It's not like you can actually stand a chance in fighting against the United States government. The Army has a bigger, badder weapons system than any private citizen. Okay, time out. Yes, the Army does have a bigger and badder weapons system than, well, almost any private citizen. All right, that was me talking. Anyway, she says, your most deadly gun is no match for their tanks and their helicopters and their atom bombs, etc., etc., etc. So liberals say, well, that means that the Second Amendment is obsolete. Really? Second Amendment's obsolete, huh? Tell that to Iraqi insurgents who put up a pretty good fight against our military, even though they were fighting with fairly primitive weapons. Okay, tell that to the Taliban, or tell that to the Somali people at Mogadishu in 1992. All right, tell them that the right to keep and bear arms or the right to have arms is insignificant. What other rights might be considered obsolete? Excuse me. What other rights might be considered obsolete in today's day and age? That remains the big question. And speaking of rights, by the way, folks, let's look at some other rights that don't get used very often. How about the 26th Amendment? The 26th Amendment guarantees everybody who's 18 years of age or older the right to vote. We all know that the youth vote is typically pretty abysmal. Of course, let me take a time out here. The youth vote wasn't very abysmal in November of 2008, was it? The youth vote made a huge difference. But she's right. Typically, the right to vote, it's typically not used by people who are under 30 very often. Okay, so she continues to write, our obligations as citizens are to protect against the government infringing upon our rights by making full use of them. Obama made pretty good use of the youth vote, didn't he? And when it comes to the Second Amendment, liberals do not fight to protect that right. Instead, what do? They demand more laws. Regulate, 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 until the Second Amendment is nearly regulated out of existence. Because, of course, liberals always feel, well, you know, no one should have a gun anyway. And that, sadly, is the biggest mistake of all. And here's her fifth point. The Second Amendment is about revolution. In no other country at no other time has such a right existed. It is the right of revolution. Let me say that again. It's the right of revolution. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive to the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the right of the people to either alter or abolish that government and to institute a new government. These are not mild words. These are powerful, and they are revolutionary. The Founding Fathers might have never imagined automatic weapons, but they probably also never imagined a total ban on handguns either. And the Second Amendment is no different. It's not about how much ammunition is excessive or what types of guns are and are not permissible. Liberals cling to such minutiae at the expense of understanding and appreciating the larger concept that underlies the right to own and keep and bear firearms. So, what's the point? She writes, is this a rallying cry for liberals to rush out and purchase a gun? Absolutely not. Guns are dangerous when used by people who are not trained to use them, just as cars are dangerous when driven by people who have not been taught how to drive. Time out. I got to interject something here. I wish this actually was a cry for liberals to rush out and buy a gun. All right? I mean, hey, liberals, go out and buy guns. It's your right. Do it. Go get them. You guys have all seen the bumper sticker? Annoy a liberal, buy a gun? We should nullify that bumper sticker, in my opinion. Liberals, go buy guns. Then you won't be so annoyed when everybody else buys them. But she is right, I have to say, when she says that guns are dangerous when used by people who are not trained to use them. So are cars. Does that mean we should ban cars? Should we have an amendment that bans cars or something? No, cars are dangerous. In fact, as I would submit to you folks, and again, this is me talking, I would submit to you that a car in the hands of an untrained person is just as dangerous, maybe even more dangerous, than a gun in the hands of an untrained person. So back to the article. She says, this is a rallying cry for the Bill of Rights, for all of our rights. This is an appeal to every liberal who says, I just don't like guns. This is an appeal to every liberal who says, no one needs that much ammunition. This is an appeal to every liberal who says, well, that's not what the Founding Fathers really meant. This is an appeal to every liberal who supports the ACLU. This is an appeal to every liberal who has complained about the Bush administration's trading of our civil liberties for an illusion of greater security. This is an appeal to every liberal who believes in fighting against the abuses of government and against the infringement of our civil liberties, excuse me, and for the greater expansion of our rights. This is an appeal to every liberal who never wants to lose another election to the Republicans, because they have successfully persuaded voters that Democrats will not protect their Second Amendment rights. Okay, time out again. I want to say to Kaylee Joy Gray here, be careful. One of the reasons why Democrats are losing elections, and one of the reasons why a lot of Democrats and liberals are probably going to get their clock cleaned in November, one reason why is because, Democrats and liberals usually are not fighting for our Second Amendment rights. They just don't. I'm not saying all of them are that way. Some of them do, and I know that there's Democrats and liberals out there that get A ratings from the NRA. Yes, I know, they are out there, they do exist, but as a whole, as a majority, the Feinsteins and the Chuck Schumers of the world, and most of the Democrats in Congress, folks, including our president, are not fighting for our Second Amendment rights. So yeah, I think a lot of them are going to lose. And I hope they do. Okay, back to the article. I'm almost done. This is an appeal to liberals not merely to tolerate the Second Amendment, but to embrace it, to love it and defend it and guard it as carefully as you do all of the other amendments. Because we are liberals and fighting for our rights, all of our rights, for all people, is what we do, because we are revolutionaries. And that's the end of that article. Now, I don't know if I agree that liberals are revolutionaries, but that's the way she sees it. And don't you think that was a very well-written article? Now, you know, at times you might have been listening to that thinking, is this really a liberal writing this? Really? A liberal wrote this? Yeah, folks, a liberal wrote that. And I love it. I think it's great. I'll post a link to the entire article. I edited some of that. And, of course, some of it I put my own flavor into it. But I gave you the primary point of what she was trying to say. And she's right. How hypocritical is it of liberals to fight for all the other rights and clamor and throw hissy fits and get on TV and shoot their mouths off about all the massive abuse of all these rights. Right? You remember when Bush was president? You remember all of the saber-rattling by all the liberals out there? Oh, man, I can't believe how bad Bush is. My God, look what this guy's doing. He's trampling on the Constitution. Remember that? If I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. Bush was trampling on the Constitution. Yet, how much trampling do liberals do on the Constitution when they don't uphold the right of the people to keep and bear arms? As she says, boy, these liberals, they sure fight for the right of the people for everything else. And for every other amendment in the Constitution of the United States, liberals are okay with the words, the people. Two words, the people. They're okay with that. Oh, but just not the Second Amendment. No. Certainly that Second Amendment must not apply to the same people that all the other amendments apply to, right? Okay, I'm getting sarcastic here, folks. But I got to agree with this lady. And it was a very well-written article, and I wanted to share it with you here on the first segment of episode number 70 of the Handgun World Show. Tell me what you think. I agree with 90% of what she says. And I think it's very well done. So send me some comments, send me some emails, put some posts on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum if you want. I'd like to hear your comments on this, but I think it was very well done. So I will applaud you. And see, when liberals are right, folks, I'm going to compliment them. I don't mean to sound like Rush Limbaugh here. I'm not trying to be like a Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck. That's not me. But when a liberal says or does something right, I don't give a crap what political party they're from. I really don't care. When anybody says something right, whether they're a private citizen or whether they're a politician, I'm going to call them out when they're right. I'm going to call them out when I think they're wrong, and I'm going to call them out when they're right. And I think Kaylee Joy Gray, who wrote this for the Daily Coast, I think on this article, she's correct. She's right. So I will applaud her. And that concludes segment one. Stay tuned. Let's take a quick 30-second musical break, and then I'll be back on with details of the Freedom Raffle. Okay, fellow shooters, here we go with segment number two. I'm still cruising down Interstate 35. I'm about 50 miles north of Austin, Texas, which is my destination. So I just pulled an apple out of my bag here for a snack. I'm trying to lose weight, folks. I've kicked the junk food habit. No more pork skins while I'm driving down the freeway. No more Cheetos and Fritos. I got to drop 15 pounds so it's easier for me to appendix carry my Glock 19. Wish me luck on that. So between apple bites, before I get to the core here and whip this thing out the window. Oops, should I say that? Texas State Patrol officer might pull me over and arrest me for littering. Oh boy, better be careful about that, huh? Anyway, all right, let's get on with it. The Freedom Raffle. Let me kick this off. First of all, I think it's important that I explain to you guys what it is that I'm trying to do here. As I mentioned in segment one, our fight for gun rights continues on. It is far from over, folks. There is a long way to go. Yes, we've made great progress. I mean, compare what it is today to 10 years ago. Huge progress. There's no denying that. We've got to keep it going because there are liberals that don't believe in the article that I just read to you, and they're going to continue to assault our Second Amendment rights, which are protected. So, money talks, folks. Money talks. Let's face it. It just does. Getting active is good, but there's also got to be some money out there so certain organizations can continue to fight. So I want to raise money to help what I believe are some very, very good causes. And I'm going to tell you about them, and then I'm going to tell you how the raffle is going to go down. The first organization that I believe that I owe something to. As a matter of fact, I want to give back to the Gun Rights Radio Network. Thank you, Mark Vanderberg, first of all, for adding my show to this network. Thank you to all of you who are members of the Gun Rights Radio Network for accepting me. Thank you for continuing to listen to my show. It's because of you that this show is where it is, and I hope that it continues to grow and grow and grow. It's your show, not mine. I'm just the mouth behind the microphone. That's it. I'm just the Yankee with a gun that you guys continue to listen to. But the Gun Rights Radio Network needs our help, and Mark needs our financial support. And, you know, he's got costs in keeping the whole thing going and trying to approve everything and bringing podcasts together and all the cool things that he's doing. So a portion of the money raised from this raffle is going to go straight to the Gun Rights Radio Network. It'll be a one-time donation on behalf of the listeners of the Handgun World Show, donated to the Gun Rights Radio Network. That's where a third of all the money that I raise is going to go. Another third, I want you to decide. Now, I want to drop some hints. Opencarry.org is a good one. Folks, I tell you what, my mind is changing on open carry. I know I wasn't all that enthusiastic about it back in episode number 30. But the more I dig into it, the more I talk to people, the more I would love myself to be able to open carry, the more benefits I'm seeing that open carry has. And it's our right. So we need to support open carry. And opencarry.org has a radio advertisement campaign. If you go to opencarry.org, one of the hints I'd like to drop is that we do some supporting of open carry. Just a thought. You, the listener, is going to get to decide where an entire one-third of the money is going to go to. I'm going to start a poll on the Gun Rights Radio Network, on the Handgun World Show thread. I'm going to start a poll, and I want you to decide, majority vote, majority's going to win, where a third of the money is going to go to. But opencarry.org is a good one. Of course, the NRA, even though the NRA is controversial, I know. I know about all the controversy about them maybe supporting Harry Reid. You know what? I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to go down that useless argument, in my opinion. The NRA has done a tremendous amount to support our gun rights. That's just the way it is. They are the biggest and baddest lobbying organization for Second Amendment rights. They need support as well, as always. So the NRA might be one to think about. Folks, I'm welcome to all suggestions. And finally, I'm not going to hide the fact that a third of the money is going to help support the Handgun World Show. There are some distinct improvements that I want to make to this show, and there are some costs that go along with that, so I need a little bit of help in being able to improve the show, improve the YouTube channel, be able to get some different video equipment to film some cool videos, and even do some video interviews with people. So I'm going to invest everything back into the Handgun World Show. So here's how it's going to go down. I will start the thread on the Gun Rights Radio Network shortly. By the time you hear this, there'll be a thread up there. And vote in the poll, folks. Vote in the poll. Let your voices be heard. Where do you want a third of this money to go? Now, let me tell you about what you get to win. First of all, raffle tickets are going to be $10. $10. That's it. Folks, think about everything that you waste $10 on. Everybody wastes $10 somewhere every month. Pick one month where you're not going to blow $10 and buy a raffle ticket, okay? There's a couple ways you can do that. I have a PayPal account and I have a GunPal account. If you just simply go to handgunworld.com, you will see my PayPal account and you'll see my GunPal account. Either one. Use either one. I don't care. The money's all going to the same place. Send me $10 per raffle ticket that you wish to buy. Now, some of you have already supported my show financially. To those of you who have supported my show financially already, thank you. You will automatically get tickets sent in the mail. You don't have to do anything else. If you want to buy more tickets, you're welcome to. You're already going to get tickets sent in the mail to you for this raffle because you have been so generous with me right up front. If you want to buy a ticket, just PayPal or GunPal me $10. I'm going to do this the old-fashioned way, folks. I'm going to mail you tickets. I know that there's going to be a little bit of cost in that. I'll pick up the 47 cents to mail you the tickets. But I got a whole big roll of a couple thousand red tickets, and I'm going to keep half of it, and I'm going to mail you half of it. And what I'm going to do is on September 1st, I am going to draw the winners, and I'm going to draw the tickets, and I'm going to YouTube the drawing. I'm going to YouTube video the drawing, so you'll be able to watch me as I pull the winners out of that bucket, and I'm going to put all the tickets in there. So you'll be able to go on the YouTube channel and see how the whole thing went down, so we keep everything on the up and up. I do want to say before I divulge the prizes here that I'd kind of like to keep this to a maximum of 5 raffle tickets per person. You know, what I want to try to avoid is someone stacking the deck. So, $50 gets you 5 raffle tickets, $10 a piece. Okay. Now, the prizes. I got four really cool prizes. If some of you know somebody else that wants to donate to the cause and sweeten the pot a little bit, of course, I would love that. I'd welcome that. Here's what I've got lined up so far. Let me start with the best one, or I think the one that's got the highest value. A Ruger LCP. I'm going to give away a Ruger LCP, but this is a special one. This one's engraved. This has pretty cool engraving on the slide. It was done by Ellett Brothers, an excellent distributor. And I'm going to put pictures of it on the Handgun World Show website. So go to handgunworld.com and take a look at the pictures of this engraved Ruger LCP. Keep in mind, if you're the winner of the LCP, there's going to be FFL transfer fees. I'll pick up the shipping. But you're going to have to find an FFL and give them $25, $30, whatever, to transfer the gun in for you if you are out of the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan area. Okay? So, that's one thing I'm giving away. The other is CompTac Holsters. CompTac, one of the best holster manufacturers, I believe, out there. I own two of their holsters. Absolutely love them. You've heard me talk about them on the show. CompTac stepped up, and they have donated two $100 gift certificates. So there's going to be two winners, one for each certificate, two raffle winners, $100 worth of holsters at CompTac. Most of their holsters are about $80 or $85 or so. By the way, they happen to be running a 10% off special. If you want to buy something from them right now, from now through the 31st of July, 10% off. The coupon code is listed on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum. Go to my thread there. You'll see the coupon code. Order online, save 10%. But if you don't do that, you could win a CompTac holster. Any holster that they make for any of the guns that they make them for, it's yours up to $100. So I'm going to raffle off two of those certificates. Here's another prize I'm raffling off. One of my good friends owns a website called knivesandgear.com. He sells tons of knives. Cool knives. His name is Jeff Lytle, and Jeff is a buddy of mine, and he has knivesandgear.com. That's his website. If you want a good knife, you've been looking for a good utility knife, defensive knife, survival knife, whatever you want, $100 on his website to $100 gift certificate to knivesandgear.com. So check out his website, and I'll put a link to all of this stuff in the show notes, but check out Jeff's website and see all the cool stuff that he sells there. He sells more than knives. That's why he calls it Knives and Gear. There's some other cool supplies on there that people like us who believe in self-defense, believe in survival, believe in, you know, being up on things. We like the kind of stuff that Jeff sells, so check out his website as well. And that's it for now. So that's a lot of cool stuff. A Ruger LCP and a couple of $100 gift certificates for CompTac holsters and $100 to get yourself a knife or something. Is that worth $10 to you? Is that worth supporting the Gun Rights Radio Network, supporting my show, supporting opencarry.org, or supporting the NRA, stuff like that? I hope you think it's worth something. And I hope that you think that that's worth $10. So about once a week, I will mail out tickets to everybody. So I do need your mailing address. Make sure I got your proper mailing address so I can send you this these tickets, okay? I know it's old-fashioned. I know there's websites and stuff like that that do random numbers and stuff. I don't know. There's just something I like about holding that ticket in my hand so I can see whether I'm a winner or not. That's it, folks. That's the Freedom Raffle. Now, between now and September 1st, I might be adding stuff to it. Depends on who steps up to the plate and says they want to donate something to help out some good causes. Buy a ticket. Get on there and PayPal or GunPal me and get your ticket now, because I'm sure there's probably going to be more stuff between now and September 1st that will be added to it. So there'll probably be more than four winners. And with that, thank you very much for listening to episode number 70. I'm getting pretty close to my destination, so it's time to wrap up. Remember, liberals, why you should love the Second Amendment. And maybe some of you liberals out there might want to buy a raffle ticket, huh? All right. I'll talk to you later, folks. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Bob Main. This is the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you next time. Bye-bye. I'm a desperate man.
there's guns and money. This shit has hit the fan. And money.